Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle in us the fire of thy love. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is simply an organization. Authority is a matter of propaganda. The liturgy is no more than an evolution. Christian loving, a slave mentality. Words of the late Orthodox Patriarch of Antioch, Ignatius IV, as he addressed the World Council of Churches in 1968. Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. The vestry and the senior staff have just been away on retreat for several days. At the beginning, our facilitator shared with us a concept from an expert on managing change, William Bridges. Bridges' teaching has extraordinary parallels in the scriptures and the history of the church. His premise is actually quite simple. When change comes, as it must, it is hard for people to accept, and it produces strong emotions, even of grief. And he suggests that we must understand the importance of the period of transition following change. You see, after an event, we have to learn to let go of the past, but the new is not yet fully present to us. He suggests that it is actually the period of transition that really matters, and why many organizations, companies, churches, and not-for-profits don't manage change very well, because they just fixate on the change. The greatest example of this is in the scriptures in the book of Exodus. The Exodus from Egypt was the piece of salvation history for the Jewish people. It was life-changing for the Hebrew tribes, but very quickly, the period of transition that followed it became one of difficulty. People found the trek to a new way of life hard, and they began to look back. In fact, they began to complain. Now, there's a surprise. There is a delicious passage in Exodus when the Hebrew tribes start fantasizing about Middle Eastern food, the cucumbers and the garlic that they left behind in Egypt. The tribes spent 40 years, 40, in this transition period before they arrived at the promised land. Before there could be a new beginning, they had to let go of the past and navigate towards a new reality. And it was God's plan. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus was a similar life-changing event, and the disciples found it hard to comprehend and even to believe it. Peter just couldn't cope. Do you know what his response was? I'm going fishing. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out to the disciples, there was another change. And the Acts of the Apostles charts the sometimes very difficult path that the apostles and the early believers experienced as the emerging church transitioned from being Jewish to something quite different. Change brings threat. We see it in the response of the high priest and the Sanhedrin to the early followers of Jesus. Change brings threat. We see it in the response of the Roman authorities to the emerging church. And change continues to bring threat when we are not open to the possibilities for growth as we transition to a new way of life, prompted by the Spirit who disturbs us in our complacency and our always wanting to look back. We sometimes simply have to learn to let go. Isn't that what Jesus told Mary Magdalene? Mary, stop clinging to me, the old me. In the gospel story today, Jesus cries out in the temple, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And John tells us that this signifies the Spirit, but that the Spirit could only come after Jesus was glorified. Now, in the fourth gospel, certain words are, as it were, code words. And one of those code words is glory. In fact, the whole gospel is written to reveal the glory of God. We read about it in the first chapter as the mystery of the incarnation is unfolded. We read about it in the seven signs or miracles by which Jesus revealed his glory. And the greatest sign of all is what the author of the fourth gospel calls the glorification of Jesus, which is not the resurrection, but rather his death on the cross. And on the cross, my friends, the side of Jesus is opened with a lance and outflows blood and water, witnessed by Mary and the beloved disciple. A new community is born in the shadow of the cross, the blood and water symbolizing, as it were, the sacramental life of the church flowing from the side of Christ. Temple is another code word for John. For the temple is the place where God's glory abides. But for John, Jesus is the place where God's glory abides. And therefore, yes, it is in the temple in Jerusalem that Jesus does not proclaim. He shouts that the believer's heart will flow living water. Not a trickle of water, mind you. He says, from the believer's heart will flow a river of living water. Now, if the living water signifies life in the Spirit, one might assume that this water would flow into the believer's heart. But Jesus says it should flow out of the believer's heart, and it will be a river. Just as the sacramental life of the church flows from the heart of the Lord and his pierced side, so our world can only be transfigured if we allow the Spirit to flow from our hearts and into the world. If we are only concerned with our own spiritual life, if we are only concerned with our own needs, if our religion becomes private religion, with our church staying always as it was and never changing, then it will simply dry up. I find it very significant that it was in the wilderness, in the transition period, when the Hebrew people were complaining that Moses struck a rock and out flowed water. The prophet Ezekiel had a vision of water. Where was it flowing from? The side of the temple. And it became a river impossible to cross. Jesus fulfills the ancient prophecies with the water flowing from his side on the cross and prefigures the vision of the new Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, with water flowing again from the temple and the tree of life restored and bringing healing to the nations. My friends, unless the church, unless you and me are open to life in the Spirit, the disturbing Spirit, the changing Spirit, then we can become moribund. legalistic. Our gospel becomes private. Our members may simply go through the motions of the liturgy, saying amen, but not sure whether you even joined in the prayer in the first place. As Patriarch Ignatius put it so dramatically, without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is simply an organization. Authority is a matter of propaganda. The liturgy is no more than an evolution, Christian loving, a slave mentality. But in the Holy Spirit, he continued, the cosmos is resurrected and grows with the birth pangs of the kingdom. The risen Christ is there. The gospel is the power of life. The church shows forth the life of the Trinity. Authority is liberating science. Mission is Pentecost. The liturgy is both renewal and anticipation. Human action is deified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.